Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Zero. The road to Deadpool and Wolverine rolls on with Logan. Welcome to Logan Review. I'm Brandon Davis, joined today by Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody. That was giving Krusty Krab pizza, and I love it. Good job.
Krusty Krab pizza. Check it out. Doom, 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 pizza. Now that'll be the next. You'll get the full performance. Be careful. We got Jamie Girac.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. I didn't think I was going to make this episode, so I am very excited to talk about this.
We got the Fantastic Four because Aaron Perina's here.
We're going to ride through the rest of these X-Men movies just like the Pioneers. What's going on, everybody?
Miles. Somebody in the comment section's like, all right, today's Logan. We only have a few movies left. We are flying through our road to Deadpool and Wolverine review episodes. Maybe we started a little too early, but we needed episodes and stuff to talk about, so we're having fun with it anyway. This was delayed a bit. You watched Logan early. Deadpool and Wolverine dropped a trailer, and we were like, well, we got to do an episode about that. So we did that, and now we're here with Logan. Happy Monday, everybody, or whatever day you're listening to us. This episode lives forever. It's immortal. So if it's 2029, the year of Logan, and you're throwing it back, welcome to the Logan Review. Who knows where any of us are at that point. Logan, this movie was made on an estimated $100 million budget. It's nominated for an Oscar. It made $619 million worldwide. At the time, it was the third highest grossing R-rated film of all time. So they did something right. This is the movie that was the end of Hugh Jackman's run as Wolverine. Until it wasn't. And the end of Patrick Stewart's run as Professor X. Until it wasn't. It was the opening scene target of Deadpool 2. So, we have how many? We have three movies left, right?
Yeah.
Deadpool 2, X-Men, Dark Phoenix, and New Mutants.
New Mutants.
Yeah. So we're definitely going to get heavy spoilers on for one of the bad movies to review one with us. I don't know if y'all saw his banter on Twitter. He did, which movie did he do with us? One of the bad ones. X3, right?
It was Elektra or Daredevil,
Apocalypse.
One of those.
Oh, poor fella. Yeah, no, it was Elektra way back when.
Oh, my gosh.
Paul, we love you. We got three movies left. Today's Logan. So right now, we're going to go reactions to the movie as if the social media embargo had just lifted because we weren't doing Phase Zero yet in 2017 when this movie came out. Great work, James Mangold, director of Marvel's Dark Knight, if you ask me. But social media embargo just lifted. Aaron, what did you think of Logan?
Oh, man. So I have made much fuss over having to be dragged, kicking and screaming through these Elysian fields of X-Men. But there is no kicking or screaming, except for the people getting disemboweled in this movie. It's really, really amazing. I think at the time, it was so much different than a lot of the other output that it really stood out for that period. This is a pre-The Boys universe. So seeing some of this stuff was probably so freaking metal. Like somebody painted the side of their panel van with awesome Wolverine art after this movie came out. Just a really amazing take on an iconic character. And honestly, probably among X-Men fans, the most iconic of the moments with Hugh Jackman in the role, which is wild after so many appearances, right?
Mm-hmm. Jenna, social media.
Can I just say, I find it funny that we are not doing a Jamie recap because I feel like the movie's almost too sad to do one.
Well, actually, oh my God, listen, I have been off the show. We can very well do. We actually are supposed to do it. Hold on, we'll finish the reactions.
Okay.
And then before our break, that's on me. I have been.
You missed three episodes and you suddenly forgot how this works.
I don't prepare. So I do it or I don't do it. I just show up and you tell me what to do.
I was like, wow, this is a completely different formula from how we've been doing these. But no, like, if anything, actually, I get it because I'm the Jamie recap is going to get very sad.
No, we do need that. But that's a good call. Thank you for keeping the best part of the show intact. Jenna, but what'd you think of the movie? Social media embargo just lifted.
I adore this movie with every fiber of my being. I am also just amazed that it exists purely because the interpolation that it does of the concept of Old Man Logan. Anyone who has read the Old Man Logan comic knows it's very flawed. It has some very problematic parts to it that could not translate at all on screen. And the fact that you were able to take the general genesis of the idea and make something that's like so beautiful and so wildly different from it blows my mind every single time. I'm literally getting goosebumps just talking about this movie because it breaks me up every single time. Those last 5 and 10 minutes, I know what's coming. I know what's happening. And I still sob like a baby. So it is just so beautiful. Mm.
Jamie?
I mean, it is a fantastic film. I think it's hard to say anything else. It's so well made. It's so emotional. I will say, though, despite thinking it is the best made of all of these films we were talking about, I do not counted among my favorites because it's too bleak. Like, I think this is only my fourth time seeing it, which for me, as you know, is a low number, because like the Charles stuff especially, it's like it's hard to watch. It's really hard for me to watch that. I don't like watching someone like that get old in that way. It's really sad. It really breaks my heart. I really think Patrick Stewart should have been nominated for an Oscar for this movie. I really stand firm on that. He's just phenomenal. They're all phenomenal. It is such a great film. And it's like one of you said, it's unlike anything ever in this genre. It's so unique. And but it's not rewatchable. I'll tell you that.
You know, I haven't watched this movie in a few years. And while it is not like a fun movie, it does have moments of levity that Patrick Stewart is largely responsible for. He's pretty funny. He's a good bit of comic relief in this movie. I thought I love this movie. Watching it, I was just gripped the whole time. But I mean, it is a heavy movie. That's not like I want to, you know, comfort movie. Sit down and watch Logan. The first scene, which is playing right now, just sets the tone. Which we'll talk about how the opening scene of these X-Men movies often sets the tone again. But yeah, no, the R rating was not for like corny jokes or laughs or something like, you know, but like Deadpool might be sometimes. This is just like for some real heavy stuff. But I think this movie's fantastic. Like I this is probably also like my fourth time watching it. I'm probably right there with you. And it's such a brilliant film, like start to finish. I think it is just so well done, right down to the details of like when Logan just stepped out of the car that we saw there and the shoes were all dirty. It's just like all these things are so well crafted. James Mangold did such a good job making this movie. And you can see when you go back to the Wolverine, which he directed before this, where he wanted to go there. And then this time it feels like they finally let him go there. Just a wonderful movie. The Last of Us, the Wolverine edition, is so good. But yeah, so what makes it so good is its story, right? Which we need to get a refresher on. So if we could throw 5 minutes on the clock, if we could throw up, what's 60 times 5? 300 seconds. Jamie, can you remind us the story of Logan?
I will do my very best. It's been a week since I watched it, but I think I got this. Aaron, you ready for me?
Actually, right. Peter, do we have it?
I don't think we do.
They made it.
No,
dang it. They made it. Richard made this. For this situation, next week we will have an actual Jamie timer that we created specifically for this situation.
Oh, I'm honored to get a timer.
You should like,
that's
like it should be brought to you by Fossil or something.
That's real. But for now, it's sponsored by Miss Minutes. We're good. Go ahead, Jamie.
All right. Old man Logan, he's old. He's in the back of the limo. He's sleeping. What's this? Oh, people are trying to steal his car. He's a limo driver, and he says, "You don't want to do that, bub." And he's like, "I'm going to get you." Oh, his claws, they're coming out rough because he's old now. And he's like, "Slash, slash, I'm going to kill you all, but I don't want to live this life." And then he's driving around his limo, and they're bridesmaids, and they're business bros. And he's like, "Oh, man, I'm just going to keep driving because this is what it's all about." And then he's driving somebody to a funeral. And then he's just like, "Oh, I'm sitting at this funeral." And this woman runs up, and she's like, "Are you the Wolverine? I need your help." And he's like, "Get away from me, lady. I don't want to help you." And then somebody comes up, and it's a Boyd Holbrook. I don't remember this character's name. And then he's like, "Oh, so that lady came and talked to you." And he's like, I don't know what she's about. And he's like, "Well, I know what you're about. And I know that you're hiding Charles Xavier somewhere. So if you help me find this lady, who, and then I'll help you not do things bad to you." And he's like, "Oh, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about." And then, so we find out he is hiding Charles somewhere over the border, but Charles is not doing well. He's got some dementia type symptoms, and they've got, he's helping out, but it's a depressing situation. Charles is struggling. He's having these brain quakes that makes everyone's brain hurt because he's old, and it's sad. But then Logan, he's trying to make some money. He wants to go on a boat, which is not very respectful to Caliban, who can't be out in the sun. But you know what? He still wants to go on that boat anyway. And then he finds that lady again, and she's like, "I will give you a lot of money if you take me and this young girl to North Dakota." And he's like, "Oh, I don't want to do this." But then she's like, "But look at all this money." And he's like, "Okay." And so he goes and he's trying to get everything ready. But oh no, he comes back and she's been killed. She's dead. This is so terrible. And then, those Boyd Holbrook again, he's going to come after Logan. And he's like, "Where's the girl?" And they're like, "I don't know where this girl is." But Charles knows. He's like, "This is my new friend, Laura. She's eating some cereal with me. She's my BFF. And then he's like, "She's a mutant." And Logan is like, "There are no more mutants. Kids aren't a thing anymore." And he's like, "I know what I'm talking about." And he's right, because she gets, little feet claws. She's killing all of Boyd Holbrook's men, and she says, "I'm growly, and her name is Laura," but she doesn't talk. And then, so they escape, Charles and Logan and Laura, and they're on the run. "Sorry, Caliban, we're leaving you behind, just like we plan to do with the boat." And there go, and they end up in Las Vegas, and they're in the hotel room. They're watching the film Shane on TV, and Professor X is like, "I watched this as a child. It's a very good movie." But no, he has one of his brain quakes, and everyone's like, "My head is so piercy." And then the bad guys come after them, and they're like, "Pow, pow, pow." But they get away, and then they're driving again. And no, there's horses all over the road. Horses have escaped. Let's be good Samaritans and get these horses back where they belong. Oh, and then they're a really nice family, and this family's like, "Hey, come on over and have some dinner." So they have a really nice dinner with this family. Everything's good and happy. Or is it? Because it turns out that the bad guys, they have created, what is it? An X-24? Because they realize, here's the thing, Laura, she was with a bunch of mutant children that they created as weapons, but it turns out children just want to be children. They don't want to be weapons. But if we create an adult that looks just like, Logan, but he has no brains to care about anything except for killing, he's a killing machine. And then Charles, he admits he knows what he did. It turns out he killed all of his friends. It's really sad. That's why no one else is in this movie, because they're all dead because of Charles. And he has this really heartfelt discussion, but it turns out he's not talking to the real Logan. He's talking to X-24. Boom! He dies! No! And then boom, boom, boom! That entire family that was helping them dies. It's really bleak. And then somewhere along the line, you learn that Laura is actually Logan's daughter. What? Genetically, that's why she's got the claws. And now it's just the two of them. They keep going. He's rough. He is bleeding. He is struggling. He is not healing. But they make it to North Dakota. Look at this. All these kids. Yay. And then they're like, "Let's go. We're going to go across the border." And they're going to. But oh no, it's the bad guys again. I didn't even mention Richard E. Grant. He's a doctor. And they're all boom, boom, fighting. Oh no, we're in the forest. Everything's struggling. They're coming along. But it all comes down to Logan versus X-24, and they're fighting, bomb, bomb, bomb. But this whole time, he had an adamantium bullet in his gun because he was contemplating killing himself. But then Laura gets it, and boom, the X-24 dies, and yay, but oh no, Logan is mortally injured. He's been wounded so roughly, and he's like, no, he dies. And then Laura's like, this is so sad, and she buries him, and she's like, a man has to be what he is, Joey. Can't break the mold. There's no living with a killing. There's no going back. Right or wrong, it's a brand that sticks. Now you run home to your mother. You tell everything's all right. There are no more guns in the valley. X.
Snaps. Snaps.
Bravo.
Snaps.
Thank you.
Oh, look,
quoting the entire monologue was amazing.
It's Richard Grant.
Yeah.
Just for I watched Shane specifically to be prepared. So
there's a Loki variant in this movie.
Yeah.
All right. That's our recap. That's our reaction. When we come back from a real quick break, we're going to do a deep dive into everything Jamie just discussed for you. And then after that, we'll give it our 10 score. So official phase Euro Logan 10 score, which we've never done before because we didn't exist at the time. So we will do that at the end of the show. So stay tuned, subscribe to the channel, do all that good stuff. We'll see you in just a minute. Welcome back to phase Zero's Logan review. This is the deep dive discussion portion of the show. We'll probably just talk about this movie beginning to end for a little bit here before giving it our official 10 scores. Thank you to everybody who's been joining us for this entire road to Deadpool and Wolverine. So let's just start at the beginning of Logan. It really sets the tone in every way with that opening sequence, which was playing earlier on here. That's the one. Woof! So Logan is old. He can be beaten. He can be hurt. He can be grumpy. He will stand in front of a car before letting it get shot, though. And he will slice and dice you and also say the F word a lot, which I think is that just goes back to how all these, not all, a lot of these X-Men movies, especially the good ones, set the tone in the first scene. We've seen this so many times. And this first scene, I feel like, was like, well, here you are. This ain't your Saturday morning, Logan, anymore. Right?
Yeah. Chris and I were talking about it while we were rewatching this, and we were like, this movie illustrates how to be a street level superhero movie and not just be in New York. Because I feel like people hear the term street level and they just think like Daredevil and all of the like non-superpowered superheroes just fighting in a big metropolitan city. But I feel like this movie grounds itself in a way that like redefines what a street level story can be.
Here's an actual excerpt from the script, which James Mangold worked on. This is what he wrote into it. Now might be a good time to talk about fights described in the next 100 or so pages. Basically, if you're on the make for a hyper choreographed, gravity defying, city block destroying CG cathon, this ain't your movie. In this flick, people will get hurt or killed when shit falls on them. They will get just as hurt or just as killed if they get hit with something big and heavy, like say a car. Should anyone in our story have the misfortune to fall off a roof or out a window, they won't bounce, they will die. As for our hero with his so-called eternal life and healing, well, he's older now. If you keep reading, you'll discover Logan's about to get his ass kicked, but before we get to that, we should make it clear his abilities ain't what they were. Yes, he's a drunk, but he's also fading on the inside. Adamantium implants leaching into his system, causing chronic pain and diminished healing, hence booze as a painkiller. James Mangold didn't come to play. He let everybody who was working on this movie know this man is swinging for some gritty R-rated stuff. This ain't your Avengers movie that you're used to seeing from the Disney-owned Marvel Studios. This is him making, you know, a gritty, emotional, vicious Wolverine movie. I think it's cool that he wrote that in the script, though, because it's not very common that writers and directors put that sort of direction in scripts. All the mutants are gone, basically, right? It's like the whole premise of the film, mutants are gone. What happened to them? Well, we pieced together a few times throughout the movie that Charles killed at least 7 in Westchester, right? But presumably more, because like a newscast says it was 7, but like he feels real guilty right before X-24 kills him. And he's like, I remember Westchester. And that's my old, yeah, I'm sorry, old Charles.
I do feel like they might have meant 7 of the X-Men and then just like the mutant children that are nearby them at the school. That's how that's I interpret I that line. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he took out like Storm and Cyclops and all the people who were still there post Days of Future Past fixing the timeline.
Yeah.
So seven X-Men, probably including himself, because much like X-Men 97, they're faking that Charles is dead.
Yeah.
So that seven might include Charles Xavier himself. So six others. But also the like the water and like the food options in this world are making mutant men sterile, it seems. So there's no new mutants being born. So not only did Charles kill a bunch of mutants, there aren't any more coming along. And then someone does come along. But yeah, so that's oh, Richard E. Graham, there's a note in here. Whoever put that in there.
No, yeah, because I added that because you had notes kind of talking about like the food supply and how that weeded out the mutants and stuff. And yeah, like Richard E. Grant has the whole monologue saying like they deliberately did that. I love that like quiet dystopia in the background of this movie of just kind of having it be this thing where like they GMO'd and it led to this massive thing for the mutants. I think that was just amazing.
Yeah, and Richard E. Grant does kind of have motivation to hate mutants because he plays that doctor named Xander Rice at Transigen. And his father, Dale Rice, a character who I didn't remember at all, was killed by Wolverine in, I'm looking at the fandom page right now, presumed deceased, was in X-Men Apocalypse. The only photo here is a real blurry picture. But so an interesting way to just kind of tie that all together, I'd say. Screw you, Rice family. Why are you killing all the mutants and doing bad things to mutants? There's a bunch of references to previous X-Men stories, specifically for Wolverine. Let's talk about what universe, what timeline we think this is in, because it really isn't bound to anything before it, because the X-Men universe, its timeline had gotten so clunky by this point. Which I think it takes to its advantage, says this is 2029. Maybe it's a continuation. Maybe it's not. I think it is. But what do you guys think?
I think it's meant to be, but in my headcanon, it's its own thing. Because it makes it easier for me to watch. Because I'm just too sad to think of, you know, the characters that I grew up with, especially in X2, that this is how it all ends up. That just bums me out. But I do think it is meant to be the same, but not in this brain.
I think about like James McAvoy's Professor X, like being a dog at the bar and just having a good time and all that stuff. And all of a sudden he's like reciting the Chalupa ad because he's like losing his mind.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's heavy. Aaron, what do you think? Is this a continuation?
I feel like it's a useful device. I wish people approached the rest of the forthcoming Marvel content the way Jamie's talking about, because they're just similar enough to know who they are and know the characters and the general thrust, but not necessarily that it's the exact same guy. Like the Peter Parker we meet in No Way Home might have been in a dumpy apartment with Mr. Ditkovich and did some other stuff and had a Mary Jane, but not necessarily, you know, some other stuff might have happened, but it's enough for you to get the broad strokes. I think that Old Man Logan being the source material also primes you to think of it as an alternate timeline, because it's pretty clear when you read the book that that's not our Logan. In fact, it gets brought into regular continuity later, which is its own hilarious, unnecessarily complicated Marvel shenanigan that get ready for. I feel like we're going to live this. We're destined to do this dance forever. So, I think that the both interpretations are about. I'm sure they mean it to be this, but also all the time travel shenanigans means that, you know, Ryan Reynolds is going to undo this in about 3 months.
I also think like comics treat a lot of their Elseworlds and a lot of their like standalone stories like this, that sort of way. Like I know Tom King, who writes for DC, is now working with the DCU, was kind of talking about one of his books that he published recently where he killed off a character and people were really mad about it. And he was like, this book is canon adjacent. Like it's not going to impact the mainline DC canon, but it's still going to use that canon as a springboard for the story. So I regard this movie in that same sort of way.
I feel like everything after X2 in this franchise was that sort of way.
There you go.
But there are a few things that make me think like this is more intention to be a continuation and a closure to the story of the Wolverine we had been following since 2000's X-Men, because like Patrick Stewart's Charles says, I'm waiting for you at the Statue of Liberty right there. He says, you know, calls Logan an animal, calls him an assassin, says you were an assassin and we took you in. The katana from the Wolverine is in there and the dog tags from Origins. So there's clearly early on there's nods. So but those are also sort of, you know, it's like, Odin's Vault had a bunch of Easter eggs too. So they could just be like, but I like to think that, yeah, they're doing this as like, all right, this is the finale for Wolverine. You can, it's kind of up for interpretation, which I think is a cool part. The way I interpret it is this is the finale for Wolverine who we have been following. And it could go either way. It's kind of whichever one you like more, you can believe, or just whatever. Comics so, exist. What?
It's so funny to think of like his dog tags in any of freaking X-Men Origins as a canon event for Wolverines everywhere. Like, I wish that that would not be the case if this is an alternate one. None of us had to go through that. One time was enough.
I do have a theory about this, but it pertains to the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. So just in case anybody is steering clear of those, I'll save it for later and I'll say what I'm going to go through it. But like if you're not watching trailers or something, I'll save that. But comics are in this movie. They actually had comics custom made for this movie. There were commissioned artists, Marvel Comics artists and stuff that made real comics or comic covers and stuff for this movie. And there's a Wolverine toy at the end of the movie, which ironically enough, I assume when they made this movie, they didn't know. He was going to, I think they were like, yeah, we'll do that. But maybe they wasn't like locked in yet. I always felt like when I watched this movie, he's going to do something with Ryan Reynolds. Those two love each other too much not to bring him out of retirement. But the suit that now is going to be worn in Deadpool and Wolverine is seen at Wolverine's funeral. One of the comics has like a Savage Lands reference on it. So, you know, a lot of stuff that happened in the X-Men universe apparently that we haven't seen. Maybe we will.
I have a question. Are there any comics in the comics like this?
Yes and no. It depends on the character. Like the first one I can really think of is like Patsy Walker, who becomes Hellcat. She started out with like as a romance character, and in universe they canonize it as like her mom wrote romance comics inspired by her and her life, and so then she became famous as like a comic character to an extent.
But there aren't
so
like
they do meta stuff like that all the time, but like with the X-Men, it's not necessarily as big of a thing.
Interesting. And Logan says that the books were written by a quote, self-promoting asshole in a leotard. So somebody from the X-Men has rubbed Logan the wrong way because they shared stories that then became comics.
I know who it sounds like.
What?
I said, I know who it sounds like.
Who does it sound like?
Ooh. Oh, just that's how I would describe Cyclops because you know I can't stand him. That's probably not who it is.
There it is. I had a feeling that's who you were going to say.
It's probably not him, but if I hear those words to describe someone, that's who's going to come to mind.
If there was one person who Logan was going to talk trash about from the X-Men, I mean, it might be him. Also, there's a line from never mind. There's a line that Donald Pierce says about Phoenix. And I was like, that could be taken a couple ways. That's funny. But Logan wishes. During Charles. Oh, fun fact about this. During Charles's seizure sequences, Hugh Jackman was actually like they had guys with sort of like a giant sort of exercise band, it looked like, that would be wrapped around him. And he would actually be fighting forward with these two guys pulling him back to make it look like he was really struggling to move forward through the seizures. And I think that sort of detail, like it's also like on the Thor set, they have one hammer that's really light that Chris Hemsworth can just twirl around and all that. And they have another hammer that's like 40 pounds. So when he's holding it, his arm is flexed. So it's those details that I think like that these production designers and stuff really masterfully cook up. All right. Then it becomes a horror movie. That I thought that was genuinely a terrifying sequence with the family on the farm.
Makes me so sad. I just feel bad for those people. They were just trying to share a meal. Like, it just bums me out. That poor kid, that man and his wife and son die. Oh, it really makes me sad.
Well, and also it happens so quickly. They're like not really understanding what's happened. So they think like the nice man that we just fed dinner to and who just like helped us with our crops is now like killing us. And so it's like, it is very dark. And I appreciate that they went that dark, but it's so hard to watch.
It was
When you Logan's like, it Wolverine. Wasn't me.
You never help Wolverine.
Never. That's I never forget. Like, I thought it was bad in Origins when that random couple, like, were like, oh yes, old couple, here, take my husband's son's jacket or whatever, and that would be as sad as it got. I forgot completely that this happens. It turns into that terrible Rambo movie from a couple years ago during this section. Oh, I know, Jamie, I know. I know.
What Charles's last words to Logan were not the confession about Westchester, though. Well, I feel like it was like, was it you? Were you even able to make out who was sitting in the back of the truck? I'm gonna look it up because I feel like I tried.
If I hadn't watched this movie a week ago, I would be able to.
Because I watch in subtitles, so I usually.
You're just gonna.
Told him to go by the boat. He encouraged him to go by the boat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Poor Caliban.
The sequence where X-24 comes down the stairs with. Poor Laura, just like putting the little thing like, I wonder how they carry that little person. Like, if that was her, Daphne Keene, they had a stunt person who was just like chained up, they had to just get carried around. But that sequence, the way they did that, remember, this is 2017, this is about 7 years ago, so maybe done even 8 years ago. They had Hugh Jackman at the bottom of the stairs in the white, and then they had a stunt man in the black as X-24 walking down the stairs, and they digitally put Hugh Jackman's face onto X-24. For that sequence where they look at each other. Now, if you look at it, it is pretty like dark for the most part, but there's like a good second or two there where it's fully lit for the most part, at least. And it looks really good. Like, it's very seamless. It's really well done. And like, that's not an easy effect to pull off, because not only does he walk down the stairs, like, he walks past him. So then you have to like consider that Hugh Jackman's actual face went by it, and they still had to digitally put that. But I thought that was a really, and there were several moments though where those two were together. So, but that's it. I found it interesting that that's how they did that.
I was wondering if Jamie's thinking
Lindsay
this.
Lohan performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lindsay Lohan and Orphan Black, like growing up on the Parent Trap and then having been in the Orphan Black fandom when this movie originally came out, I was like, oh yeah, okay. That's like par for the course. But it is still impressive to see.
Especially digitally. Because Tatiana Maslany was just acting six times, you know.
Yeah. I've never watched that, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's fair. But
it's so good.
It sounds like I should.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, long story short, big old battle in the woods. We've all seen the video of Hugh Jackman in the ADR. That whole thing. It's one of the most incredible acting feats the world has ever seen. And he does his little adrenaline boost and you're just like, oh my God, he's going to die. And he does. But not before Boyd Holbrook's Donald Pierce gets like killed by every mutant kid in the world. And Richard E. Grant's jerk of a scientist gets killed as well. Just shot in the face. When he shot him in the face, I was like, oh, I forgot that happened. I have not watched this movie in several years. And I just had completely forgotten that that's what happens. And he just told Laura, like, you'll know when. And she, yeah, boom, gunshot, you go. That was pretty nuts.
I forgot Richard E. Grant was in this movie.
Me too.
Like, I and you know I love him. Like, when Logan came out, I was so excited to interview him. But somehow him being in Logan, woo!
That is
even
wild.
When he was in Loki, I didn't remember he was in this movie.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow.
It's not a huge role though. So in me and Jamie's defense, okay, we got a lot going on. Okay, we got a lot. And also not a lot at the same time. So, you know, we're trying. We're doing our
best. I was too excited to talk to Richard E. Grant about Spice World. I was not thinking about Logan.
Spice World.
You had your priorities in order.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Logan's last words were, so this is what it feels like. I think I'm just a cynic who has just become a grumpy son of a gun. So what I took that to mean was he was like, this is what dying feels like. But I've seen a more optimistic take that it's like, oh, this is what it feels like to like see, you know, a child and family and all that in when Laura started calling him daddy.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I took it as death, but not in a negative way. I took it as death, but in still a optimistic kind of beautiful thing. But I like the idea of it being both.
Yeah. Mm. Aaron, which way are you taking it?
We want that hope spot so badly after everything terrible has happened in this movie, do we not?
Yeah.
And it gets cut off.
Exactly. And then, all right. James Mingle's like, never.
I need to bring it up with the, like, we mentioned this on the Wolverine episode. I love how he retconned the vision of Logan's death from that movie to kind of like retrofit this death here. Cause she's talking about how like you're bleeding, you're holding your heart in your hand. And it's like that heart is then he's holding Laura's hand. And like, I remember when that came out, like everyone drew the parallel and was just like, oh my God. And like, that does not leave my head ever since.
I want to talk about the Shane speech, mm-hmm. because I watched Shane, so I would like to share the information with you. And this whole movie is a Western, right? Like Logan is at its core a Western. It feels like a Western in every sense of the word. And the speech that she gives is from the end of Shane. And I think, mm-hmm. one, it's really bold to take a classic iconic movie and end your movie with it, but it works so well. But I assumed that in Shane, it was a funeral speech, and it's actually not. So that was interesting to me. Watch Shane. It's really
good. It's the reverse. Like in Shane, it's like the reverse of the roles, right?
In Shane, the guy is telling it to the kid. Joey is, mm-hmm. the kid. But it's kind of left Shane might be dead, but it kind of leaves you unsure. Spoiler for a movie from the 50s, but it ended much differently than this, and I was surprised, so I'm glad that I checked it out.
All right, some facts I found. If you guys want to add anything, feel free. Some facts I found about the movie. Hugh Jackman dehydrated himself for 48 hours a couple times to flush water out of his body for the shirtless scenes. I respect that. I am so all for actors trying to do the superhero physique thing. Like I think it works. Hugh Jackman does it tremendously. He's one of the best to ever do it. So that sort of effort. Now, as long as you're doing it healthy, which a 48-hour dehydration cleanse is crazy, you just have to water load before that and just resist all water at that point. Man, that's impressive. That's tough, but I guess it's worth it because these scenes live forever and Hugh Jackman seems like he's doing all right. The cinematographer lit and filmed scenes to emphasize the shadows on the scars, especially early in the film, because Wolverine not one to usually have scars, so that really helped. Like I mentioned on the shoes and all that, like there's so many little details that show like Wolverine is getting old, he's vulnerable, he's just kind of ready to go. James Mangold considered other villains like Sabretooth to be the villain instead of X-24, but didn't want to have to explain how they were there, why they were working with Transigen, and also thought like X-24 makes sense because one of Logan's biggest fears is just himself. So he's kind of having to face himself in these scenes. So, okay, you know, kind of a little metaphor type thing there. It worked. James Mangold was sent an abundance of Last of Us comparisons because of this movie, you know, the man and the little girl. But then ultimately said he played the game, didn't want to make the movie because he basically already did. Stephen Merchant, then Tomas Lemarquis, who played Caliban before him. That's interesting. And Patrick Stewart lost 21 pounds to play this version of Charles. 21 pounds. That's a lot of weight.
Especially for someone that age.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do at any age, and at Patrick Stewart's age. Sir Pat, good work, man. Incredible performance. I think that's one thing I don't think we've talked enough about, the performances of this movie and the chemistry between Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman specifically and Daphne Keene. Incredible work. And Boyd Holbrook is fantastic, too. He's such a dick in this movie. I just think the casting, the direction, the cast did such a fantastic job in this film. Patrick Stewart specifically, I think, did an incredible job. But they all did. Hugh, Patrick, and Daphne were all amazing. Do you guys think we'll ever see Daphne Keene again? And you think she's in Deadpool and Wolverine?
I don't know if she's in Deadpool and Wolverine, but I have hope that we'll see her again in some way. I think like her being on The Acolyte and being in the Disney family now with Star Wars definitely helps if we get to that point.
This was her first time in a theatrical film.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Wow.
I feel like if we don't see her in Deadpool and Wolverine, we probably won't see her as Laura again. But I do think she has exciting future things happening in her career.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're going for the most fan pops possible with that movie, I hope she's in there. Like, listen, everybody says this movie and X2 are like the two best X-Men movies. So, like, it would be a little bit weird. I know not you, BD, but like a lot of people. I'm just sitting there like, I hope she's in it. Also, X-Men, she's just cool. I don't know. As much people hate on legacy heroes, yo, one, dope.
Yeah, she's cool. I have a theory. So if you don't want anything about Deadpool and Wolverine, if you didn't watch the most recent trailer, this isn't like a spoiler. It's just a thought based on something said in the trailer and the events of Logan. So if you don't, skip ahead like 3 minutes. We'll be doing our review.
Channel Jim.
The Deadpool and Wolverine most recent trailer really set up that Wolverine as a Wolverine that failed his universe. Seemingly there's lots of dead mutants and X-Men. Like, here's, he's given up on being a hero. And that kind of falls in, like, I know they said they're not touching the Logan legacy at all right in that announcement video, but like, this Wolverine maybe could blame himself, I guess, or at least feel like he's part of a world where the mutants have died. Like, whatever universe he's coming from probably isn't that different, if not just the same as this Logan world, right?
I took it that whatever this new Wolverine is, I think his like whole world is destroyed. And I also feel like while Logan has had a lot of trauma, his friends dying isn't also new to him. His friends, like people in his life, have been dying because he's so old. But I also feel like a happy ending for our Logan is that he did finally get to rest. And I think that this new Logan, his thing is that he doesn't get that. And that I think that his everything is destroyed on a much bigger scale, but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I just can't wait for that damn movie. I just can't wait.
After Deadpool and Wolverine comes out, are we gonna rank all these?
I hope so.
We could rank them before it.
That is,
I mean, I feel like we gotta include it, right? It's the road to Deadpool and Wolverine,
but it's not a Fox movie. Like,
well, gosh, that's. I saw somebody tweet this, like, do I put the DVD with my Fox movies or with my MCU movies? And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to run into that problem, too. I have no idea. That's something to think about.
Don't put it anywhere near the Madam Web Blu-ray.
I am buying that, for the record. I am Madam Web.
Yeah. Physical media dies with thunder.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah. Better rush to the store because, oh, my gosh, it's going to be flawless.
The more people that buy movies like that, the longer physical media will live. So
exactly.
So shut up. Yeah.
Clarkson, we love you, girl. I really do.
BD's walking back all of our like physical media advocacy on this show.
Like, now he's at like, what cost? At what like, did it cost?
That's going to be one of the last Marvel movies that's like in Target on physical media. What a bummer. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to rate and rank and officially review Logan with a 10 score because 10s are how we do it on Phase Zero, and everybody loves that ranking system. Nobody ever has a problem with it. It's perfect. It's flawless, and we're going to do it. See you in just a moment. Subscribe. Welcome back to the Phase Zero Logan review. We are finishing up the show with our 10 scores for Logan. Jamie, you're at the top of the screen. You know what to do.
Yeah. On Letterboxd, it's a 4.5 for me. You know that to get a full 5, it's got to have the rewatchability factor for me personally. But a 9 feels way too low for this scoring. So I'm going to go with a 9.8.
Ooh. And that's why it tends, because look at the freedom you have to just, look at that.
It's right chaos. It's arbitrary chaos, and I hate it.
Right down to the 9.8. Look at that precision with which you got to review Logan. Aaron, how are you feeling about Logan out of 10?
Pretty good. I'm awaiting Jamie to dream walk into a universe where we use the 5 score. You do not have any facial hair in that universe. Therefore, we all cannot be trusted. I asked Ariel what her score would be for this because I don't trust myself. And she said it was a 10, despite it being, as BD said, a bummer, but a good movie.
That's a 10. It's a good bummer.
It's a good bummer. Jenna,
the best kind of bummer you could ever have.
I'm a little more I will give 5 stars on Letterboxd a lot more often. I don't think rewatchability is like as huge of a thing for me because there are movies I love dearly that I'm never going to rewatch ever again. So this is easily a 5 out of 5 for me. So it would easily be a 10.
Boom, 10. All right. And with the final score, I'm in here to say I have to agree. I agree with the rewatchability comments. Not super enjoyable or pleasant of a rewatch because of the emotional. It's a hefty boy that way, man. But it is the fights. They're beautiful. They're incredible. The performances are amazing. The story is just damn. It's so good. I'll give it a 10. So that's a 39.8 divided by 4. Bam, we got a 9.95. We're rounding up. That's a 10 out of 10 from Phase Zero.
All right, I'm glad.
Public school says go up to 10,
I,
you know.
I didn't want to be the reason, so I'm glad. I want to stress that the rewatchability thing, that is a Jamie Girac thing. I do not rewatchability does not a good film make, but we are talking our personal feelings. I just want to stress that. Don't come after me.
Liz, you rate it however your heart desires. Yeah. That's what we do here. We don't have to. There are no lines that we have to operate within. We are all individuals here on Phase Zero, and we score things how we want to out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm so well. You do have to abide by the 10. Other than that, you can do whatever you want. No, but I understand the rewatchability thing. Like, if that, and that's a big, like, Jamie, you watch more movies than anybody I know. Maybe, like, the only person I know who maybe watches as many movies as you is Kevin McCarthy. And you two know more about movies than I ever will. So I respect that rewatchability is a big factor for you. Yeah, so 10 out of 10 right there for Logan. A great bummer of a movie.
I hope that's on our graphic that we tweet out. That's just the entire
quote. Put that on the commercial. Where were we in 2017 when they needed quotes for marketing? A great bummer, Phase Zero. Oh, man. All right, y'all. Well, everybody go ahead and share your 10 scores with us in the comments. Send them to us on social media. Go spam Jim Viscardi's Instagram comment section and tell him what you think of Logan. Jenna, any last words for today's show?
It's at Hey, it's Jenna Lynn on social media. As always, go read some comics. Like I said, I don't necessarily recommend Old Man Logan. It is very different from this, and in good and bad ways. I am going to recommend Wolverine the Long Night, which was an audio series that then was turned into a comic, and it is very much the vibe of Logan, and it is really good.
It's Jamie Girac, any last words for today's show?
Yeah, at Jamie Jarek on Instagram and Letterboxd. As we do the Road to Deadpool on this show, Jen and I on Letterboxd are doing the Road to Planet of the Apes. So yes, check out those reviews. Also, I'm flying today, which means I will be finally cracking open that House of X comic that's been sitting on my shelf for a couple months. I'm really excited. Looking forward to some hashtag Jenna Says Read Comics.
I'm also flying today. I'm on my way to the Apes movie. So look at that. Look at the Phase Zero crew. A little synergy here. Aaron Perrine, any last words for today's show?
At Summit Lake Hornet, together, Apes strong. I see that during our discussion, Russell Donovan has debuted a new version of Scarlet Witch, heavily inspired by Multiverse of Madness. Please go check that out. Ooh. The Wheel of Evil Ladies expands evermore.
Oh, Jamie's gone.
Jamie's gone. She just dipped.
We lost her. She gone. All right, y'all. That's our Logan review. Thank you so much for joining us at Brandon Davis BD on the social media channels. If you want to talk more, subscribe to Phase Zero. Man, if we have like a Comic-Con episode or panel or anything like that, which would be awesome, we got to have like Jamie do a 5-minute Marvel Studios Hall H panel recap. That's going to be chaos. And then Kevin Feige was on the stage. And then he said, and then here's Jeremy Renner. And then Kate Bishop came out. And then all of a sudden, Chris Hemsworth's like, we're doing Thor 5. And then all of a sudden, they told us that it's going to be directed by this guy. Man, I can't wait. There is not. Goodness gracious, that's going to be the recap of the year. So for that reason, make sure you're with us. Don't miss our show. Play it for your mom. Play it for your dog. Anything to get plus one on the view count. This is the listens and the downloads. Wherever you are in the world, we appreciate you because we're having a good time with Phase Zero and the Road to Deadpool and Wolverine continues. See you on Wednesday for our regularly scheduled programming.